Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Test, test, one, two.
Talk to you about for just a few moments.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, and we are doing another little sound check. Looks like we're getting through there. Need to know if we're broadcasting live on the Blog Talk Radio. I noticed my friend Kathy's there. Let me just see if I could get in there and say hello to Kathy this morning if Blog Talk Radio is broadcasting. Hello, Kathy. How are you today?
Good. It's cold here.
Hello, Kathy or Ken. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah. Yes, we do hear you, Vincent, yes.
Oh, very good. So you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, and that's coming through loud and clear. So that's good. But I won't be able to hear you with that working. So here's what we're doing. Kathy, thank you so much. I can't hear unless I turn this up. So, Kathy, go ahead and say hello real quick.
Oh, hello, everyone. South Dakota is very cold today. Okay.
I bet. Okay, so I've got a little reverb in the background, so let me work on that for just a minute. What I'm happy about is that we are broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio and on Omega Radio. So for that, I'm very happy. Let me just make sure my friend Bill out there, he could hear. Bill, are you there, and can you hear us okay?
I can hear you fine, sir.
All right. Are you hearing the echo?
A little bit, not a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I've got a lot of echo here. So what I'm going to be doing is working on doing Skype, and we may be having to work through Skype because Sam Broadcaster works with that, and I'll be searching that out for the day. But, you know, today I thought it was very interesting. And unfortunately, by the way, I'm sad to report that Brother Daniel will not be with me. We're going to do a recording a little bit later in the day, most likely for tomorrow, because as you know, it's like 2 a.m. for him right now, and he's getting busier. So we just made a decision to do some recordings on the same day and then play it the next day for him. So he'll probably be live on the air tomorrow is what I'm thinking. And then, of course, today at 10 o'clock, we're going to be heading over to, after this broadcast, to Kerm Radio, and it should be a very unique broadcast. We're going to be talking about the deists, contending and confronting the Christian men and women of the founding fathers and stuff like that. But I thought it was interesting today that I turned on Fox News, of course, you know, in the morning, see if anything is going on in the world. And of course, it's the funeral procession or the funeral for George H.W. Bush. And they had on the ticker tape a national day of mourning, a national day of mourning. And I'm not sure. Now, Kathy and Ken, we just lost them. I hope it's not because they're not hearing us. We should be okay. But anyways, this national day of mourning for the loss of George H.W. Bush, a national day of mourning for the loss of John McCain, you know, I don't know why it would be such a national day of mourning, quite frankly. I don't know. I don't understand that. Why people would be mourning over, you know, an individual like this. Now, granted, you have presidents and everything that are involved here, or statesmen or senators and all of that good stuff. But I guess what is at issue is where these people have come from. And obviously, the things that we've been told, the things that we know, that the Bushes were very much a part of something that's called the Skull and Bones organization. And that is, you know, if nothing else, very interesting. Skull and Bones is an undergraduate senior secret student society at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, and the oldest senior class society at the university. Skull and Bones has become a cultural institution known for its powerful alumni and various conspiracy theories. So the society's alumni organization, the Russell Trust Association, owns the organization's real estate and oversees the membership. The society is known informally as Bones, and members are known as Bonesmen. Now, the Skull and Bones was founded in 1832 after a dispute among Yale debating societies, Linonia, Brothers in Unity, and the Calopian Society, over that season's Phi Beta Kappa Awards. So William Huntington Russell and Alphonso Taft co-founded the Order of the Skull and Bones. The first senior members included Russell, Taft, and 12 other members. The society's assets are managed by its alumni organization, the Russell Trust Association, incorporated in 1856 and named after the Bones co-founder. The association was founded by Russell and Daniel Colt Gilman, a Skull and Bones member. The first extended description of Skull and Bones, published in 1871 by Lyman Bagg in his book 4 Years at Yale, noted that, quote, "The mystery now attending its existence forms the one great enigma which college gossip never tires of discussing." Well, Brooks Mather Kelly attributed the interest in Yale senior societies to the fact that underclassmen members of the then freshman and sophomore and junior class societies returned to campus the following years and could share information about society rituals, while graduating seniors were, with their knowledge of such, at least a step removed from campus life. So Skull and Bones selects new members among students every spring as part of Yale University's Tap Day, and has done so since 1879. Since the society's inclusion of women in the early 1990s, Skull and Bones selects 15 men and women of the junior class to join the society. Skull and Bones taps those that it views as campus leaders and other notable figures for its membership. So the Skull and Bones Hall is otherwise known as the Tomb. All right. And the building was built in three phases. This is the Tomb. Wing was built in 1856, the second wing in 1903, and Davis-designed neo-Gothic towers were added to the rear garden in 1912. So the front and side facades are of Portland brownstone in an Egypto-Doric style. Well, the 1912 tower additions created a small enclosed courtyard in the rear of the building, designed by Evarts Tracy and Edgard Swarthout of Tracy and Swarthout, New York. Everett Tracy was an 1890 Bonesman, and his paternal grandmother, Martha Sherman Evarts, and maternal grandmother, Mary Evarts, were the sisters of William Maxwell Evarts, an 1837 Bonesman. So they get into the architect, and let's look at some of the Bonesmen here. Skull and Bones membership developed a reputation in association with the power elite, regarding the qualifications for membership Lanny Davis wrote in 1968 Yale yearbook. Here's what he said. If the society had a good year, that is what the ideal group will consist of: a football captain, a chairman of the Yale Daily News, a conspicuous radical, a Witten Poof, a swimming captain, a notorious drunk with a 94 average, a filmmaker, a political columnist, a religious group leader, a chairman of the of literature, a foreign ladies man with two motorcycles, an ex-serviceman, a Negro, if there are enough to go around, a guy nobody else in the group had ever heard of. Lanny Davis, quoted by Alexander Robbins. Like other Yale senior societies, Skull and Bones membership was almost exclusively limited to white Protestant males for such of its for much of its history. While Yale itself had exclusionary policies directed at particular ethnic and religious groups, the senior societies were even more exclusionary. While some Catholics were able to join such groups, Jews were more often not. Some of these excluded groups eventually entered Skull and Bones by means of sports, through the society's practice of tapping standout athletes. Star football players tapped for Skull and Bones included the first Jewish player, Al Hesburgh, the class of 1938, and African-American player Levi Jackson, class of 1950, who turned down the invitation for the Berzelius Society. Well, Yale became coeducational in 1969, prompting some other secret societies, such as St. Anthony Hall, to transition the co-ed membership. Yet Skull and Bones remained fully male until 1992. Class of 1971's attempt to tap women for membership was opposed by Bones alumni, who dubbed them the Bad Club and quashed their attempt. The issue, as it came to be called by Bonesmen, was debated for decades. The class of 1991 tapped seven female members for membership in the next year's class, causing conflict with the Alumni Association. The trust changed the locks on the tomb, and the Bonesmen instead met in the Manuscript Society building. A mail-in vote by members decided 368 to 320. That's over 682 people or 688 people to permit women in the society. But a group of alumni led by William F. Buckley obtained a temporary restraining order to block the move, arguing that a formal change in bylaws was needed. Other alumni, such as John Kerry and R. Inslee Clark Jr., spoke out in favor of admitting women. The dispute was highlighted on an additional page of the New York Times. A second alumni vote in October 1991 agreed to accept the class of 1992, and the lawsuit was dropped. Well, Judith Ann Schiff, chief research activist at the Yale University Library, has written, and I quote, "The names of its members weren't kept secret. That was an innovation of the 1970s, but its meetings and practices were. While resourceful researchers could assemble member data from these original sources, in 1985, an anonymous source leaked rosters to Anthony C. Sutton. This membership information was kept privately for over 15 years, as Sutton feared that the photocopied pages could somehow identify the member who leaked it. He wrote a book on the group, America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones. The information was finally reformatted as an appendix in the book Fishing Out Skull and Bones, a compilation edited by Chris Milligan and published in 2003. So among prominent alumni are former President and Chief Justice William Howard Taft, a founder's son, former President and father and son George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, Chauncey Depew, President of the New York Central Railroad System, and a United States Senator from New York, Supreme Court Justices Morrison R. Waite, Potter Stewart, James Jesus or Jesus Angleton, mother of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, Henry Simpson, U.S. Secretary of War, Robert A. Lovett, U.S. Secretary of Defense, William Washburn, Governor of Massachusetts, and Henry Luce, publisher of Time, Life, Fortune, and Sports Illustrated magazines. John Kerry, former U.S. Secretary of State, and former U.S. Senator Stephen Schwarzman, founder of Blackstone Group, Austin Goolsbee, chairman of Barack Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, Harold Stanley, co-founder of Morgan Stanley, and Frederick Smith, founder of FedEx, are all reported to be members. In the 2004 U.S. presidential election, both the Democrat and Republican nominees were alumni. George W. Bush wrote in his autobiography, and I quote, "In my senior year, I joined Skull and Bones, a secret society, so secret, I can't say anything more." When asked what it meant that he and Bush were both bonesmen, former presidential candidate John Kerry said, "Not much, because it's a secret." So it's very interesting when you really look, you know, into these things that, you know, Skull and Bones, these are organizations from universities, and these are secret societies that, you know, they make a lot of jokes about. But there are rituals involved that should probably be looked into. And I guess what we're talking about here today is George H.W. Bush. This is Bush 41, as they call it. I believe that's how they did it. He has passed away. His son is there. But they're all part of the same organization. And you have both on the left and on the right people that are part of the same organization. So if you're part of a secret society and you're running against each other for the presidency of the United States or whatever the case may be, obviously there's some cahoots going on there. So Jesus said something. I'm looking for the scripture, and there's a lot more to say about these groups, whether it is Skull and Bones, whether it is other secret societies of the Illuminati, the Freemasons, or any form of masonry. There are just so many different groups that form these particular societies that are running the world. And unfortunately, when you dress down to nothing and you get naked into a coffin and you go through some kind of born-again ritualistic experience, you know, it's a little bit weird. You think there's got to be something wrong with a person's psyche, if you will, to go into a coffin through some form of representation of a death or a baptism, and to be dead to yourself and then come out of that coffin with, you know, people with hoods on and all that stuff. It gets a little weird. You wonder, you know, is Johnny okay? Case, is George okay? So we don't know because we've never seen it, but there's a lot of talk about it. I'll give you some conspiracy theories. The group Skull and Bones is featured in conspiracy theories, which claim that the society plays a role in a global conspiracy for world control. Now, George W. H.W. Bush was the famous global voice. I mean, he's the one that talked about, and you could hear this all over television, this is not conspiracy, he talked about a new world order. So when you look at a conspiracy theory that claims that the society, Skull and Bones, plays a role in a global conspiracy for world control, well, it's not so far-fetched. That's exactly what they do. And George H.W. Bush was very, pronounced in that. And theorists such as Alexander Robbins suggest that Skull and Bones is a branch of the Illuminati, having been founded by German university alumni following the order's suppression in their native land by Karl Theodor, elector of Bavaria, with the support of Frederick the Great of Prussia, or that Skull and Bones itself controls the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, problem with this, again, George H.W. Bush was a New World Order guy, and he was also the head of the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. He's part of Skull and Bones. Well, Skull and Bones has been satirized from time to time in the Doonesbury comic strips by Gary Trudeau, Yale graduate and Skull and Skrull and Key members. So there are overt references, especially in 1980 and December 1988, with reference to George H.W. Bush, and again, when the society first admitted women. So, again, there are references. There are all kinds of, here's a crooking Skull and Bones has a reputation for stealing keepsakes from other Yale societies and from campus buildings. Society members reportedly call the practice crooking and strive to outdo each other as crooks. That's interesting. The society has been accused of possessing the stolen skulls of Martin Van Buren, Geronimo, and Pancho Villa. All right. So why would born-again, spirit-filled Christians want these bones? Now, Joseph told, you know, Moses knew about the bones of Joseph, and he wanted those bones out of Egypt, right? So who knows what that's all about? So what's the point here? Well, the world is lamenting and mourning, supposedly, through the news sources, because guess what? Obviously, with these secret societies in these universities, whether they are, again, Illuminati, whether they are the Council on Foreign Relations or the Club of Rome, you know, many, many years ago, 20 years ago, we were talking about all this stuff. We brought this stuff out, and there was no light, no tunnel, was one of the great writings that you will not find anywhere right now. Go look for it. No light, no tunnel. It exposed every one of these groups at the core, and it was very interesting. But at that time, very few people were really listening, or maybe it was a download of information that eventually will come back in the world in which we live. So, but I was looking for a scripture where Jesus basically said the world loves itself. The world loves itself. And that he was telling the Christian community that, you know, the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. And what I'd like to do, while we can, is open up some telephone lines here and see if there are any that have some interest in this conversation and perhaps would like to share a little bit of the information. As I said, this is a still a test. We are probably going to be shifting from Blog Talk Radio with a brand new number, which I'll make mention of. Let me take this call, and what I'll do is this looks like Bill is calling in, so let's take the call. Good morning. Are you on the air?
Bill, Pastor, this is Bill. I'll make it real brief here, but I think we're all, any of us that have an IQ above a fifth grader know that things are not always as they appear, and that there's a lot of deception in this world, and the skull and bones and the Scottish Rite Freemasonry and the whole layout of Washington, D.C., and how these guys died, and Bush 41, his death, Barbara's death, Barbara, the granddaughter, Barbara, George W. Bush's daughter, her marriage, all that. It all plays into a symmetry of what they believe in, and they somehow think that their numerology and that everything else is above that of which God is. They think they're the ones that are in control. I think they're going to be greatly disappointed when they find out otherwise. But anyway, I'll just listen to you, Pastor. It's a good show. I love what you're talking about.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for that comment. That's coming from Bill. He's traveling across the world right now. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. My question is, okay, all the presidents that have joined up with that club in Bohemian Grove where it's established, question is, did this last president, Trump, did he go in for this initiation, to your knowledge?
That's a great question, actually. I honestly, I was told that he was supposed to go into an initiation, and whether he did or not, it certainly does not appear. But again, this is all part of the secret society. Would we really know? I honestly don't know whether he did or not, but I was told that if he was going to be the president, he had to. I guess it's part of the strict order. Whether he resisted that or not, I don't know.
Well,
great question.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because that is a satanic ritual that they go through.
That's right. That's very true. So we'll work it out. I'm going to turn up some voice here. I do apologize for the way this is coming through. Great question. You know, we could continue on. And how many of you have heard about... And let's stand back for just a moment and look at where we are as a country. And in about an hour or so, I'm going to be talking about this on Kerm Radio as well. The founding fathers of our nation, we're told that they are deists, that they are Masons, they're Christians. And everybody's wanting to know, you know, what is at the root of our country? Was it a Christian ethic? Were they Christian values? What is the difference between a Christian and a deist, according to the founding fathers, you know, mindset? Well, a deist is somebody that believes in a God that created everything, but he has nothing to do with the internal affairs of mankind, which basically says, the deist, the Bible is not valid. There, you know, that the Bible is a divine revelation. The deist says there is no divine revelation. These are like the Pharisees that said there is no resurrection. And if God is not playing a part in this world, then he never sent his son. And or people that have been born again have never received the Holy Spirit. So let's try this again. Let's go to another call back in area code 605. Let's see if we can hear. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
Hello, Ken.
But when Vincent, when Kathy called in, I could barely hear her. I could hear your voice, but I could not hear hers very well.
Okay. Well, hopefully you're coming through a little bit better. How is it now? I have echo.
I'm getting an echo now.
That's our problem. Okay, that's why we're shifting from...
I'm going to hang up. Thank you.
Okay, so we got a report that you were being heard clearly. So we do apologize for that. We'll keep working on it. Thanks for your patience, everybody. We are getting it taken care of. So anyways, we're at 9:26, and if we're having a hard time taking calls, we'll just get into what's happening again today as far as this National Day of Mourning. Do you believe it's a time to mourn? Are you mourning? Are you sad? Are you hurting over the loss of President George H.W. Bush or John McCain? Are you sad? I know that if you're part of a group, if you're part of the Skull and Bones organization, of course you would be a little bit sad, right? Because you've lost one of your own. And yet what everybody's trying to figure out is the Skull and Bones secret society, something that's good for you and I today. Is it good for Christianity? Is it good for our faith in Jesus Christ? Is it good? And when you have these devious little plots like crooking, where everybody's stealing different things, you wonder, is there crooking going on in the Middle East? And was the there was a reality that the bin Ladens, you remember that terrorist, Osama bin Laden, that he was in actual business with the Bushes in the oil fields. And you wonder what happened with that business deal. I mean, bin Laden, the Bushes, they were involved in a business in the oil industry. Obviously, something went wrong where bin Laden was accused of destroying the Twin Towers and this terrorist attack in our country. And all of a sudden, he was supposedly shot and killed in the massive terrorist hunt around the world. And as we were fighting a bunch of guys in caves with cell phones, and we got the bad guy. And they never did show his body because it was not correct to show his body. So they wrapped it up like a mummy and they tossed it in the sea. And nobody ever did see the actual dead body of Osama bin Laden. At least the nations of the earth didn't, because it was disrespectful to show his face in the burial in the sea. So I wonder, was there some problem with the Bushes and the bin Laden's business deal? And were there 3,000 people that were sacrificed that day? You just never know. Maybe the bin Ladens were so angry at the Bushes that they decided to blow up the Twin Towers. Who knows? Or at least fly an airplane into them. So anyways, let's call, see what's going on here. This is my beloved wife, Xavier.
How are you?
Are you okay?
I'm fine, but now from Blog Talk, you're breaking up. But anyway, what I did want to say is hello to everyone, and I'm thankful that the radio broadcast is beginning to really sound so clear outside of a few clinches. But I also wanted to bring up that there supposedly is a plan for so many of the very elect that have been ruling over this nation, that there would be a demise slowly, about at least four, for their plans to go on with the New World Order. And it is plan to the very tip of their concerns and what they want us to establish. So perhaps or perhaps not, this particular situation with the president or the ex-president Bush has been a demise that has been planned, and there is a few more incidences ready to take place.
So you're thinking that there is a an operation. Now, this is very interesting because there's a woman that was very much involved in terrorism. She was with groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. She's now, I talked about this yesterday for a moment. She's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, thank God, and she really is. I mean, she knows the word inside out in her spirit, her heart. You can tell this is not just a wolf in sheep's clothing. This is a truly born-again spirit that is trying to awaken the Christian community in the United States to the reality, as she said, of a major operation, an operation so big that the ISIS, the Al-Qaedas, the terrorists would never be able to pull off without inside help. They want to hit the United States because they view the United States as the great Satan. And so she said that this operation is underway. People need to wake up to it. And then when she was asked the question, well, if they're not able to pull this off on their own without inside help, who are the insiders that would help the terrorists to achieve a major operation? And without hesitation, she said, well, these are the people on the left. These are your progressives. These are your globalists. And so, again, we talk about the globalists. Again, we talk about the progressives. Again, we talk about the left and the ideology that they have spun upon the minds of the masses within our generation to, you know, deny every fabric of our Christian heritage and to promote something that is truly not what America is. And so the whole idea is to destroy the borders, to destroy this independent sovereign nation mindset, and to bring in what Daddy Bush wanted, a new world order without borders. We want to keep it all open. We want it, you know, there's forget about the sovereignty, independent United States with a Christian culture. There's something different going on here. And so maybe there is a great big deal ready to happen. Your thoughts?
There is a plan. Yes, there is a plan. The plan, for what I have been reading and understanding for a long time now, I was first told about it maybe about 35 years ago, that the plan was on its way for the demise of this nation. It started even before that, from the very foundation of the United States of America. It was like a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and evil was parallel to good, and there was going to be a war as to who would win. And as it is, it appears very much like at the end of it all, the enemy has his plan being shown at the consequence of great destruction, because we are the last bastion that is rising up and fighting against the great darkness and evil of this world. What I saw on TV today was amazing, as they were showing the funeral of President Bush, the elder President Bush, or ex-President Bush. I don't know how one should say that. They showed the monument that was in Washington, D.C., from a distance in an angle that gave it great height and great prestige. And we know that that monument represents masonry. So this plan has been going on, and it really came from Europe, when the founders of this nation, who were the original founders, they were true Christians and desired very much to service their God in freedom. But along with that came another group who desired to be in control. They were the Illuminati. And so the mixture in government began. However, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's word had its way through into the Constitution and also the Declaration of Independence. But today, the war is ensuing to the point of who is going to win this earth, this planet. And I have news for the enemy. Christ wins altogether. But we're in the midst of this war. It is spiritual warfare. It is the spirit of darkness against the spirit of truth and light. And it is also the spirit of the Luciferian against the spirit of Jesus Christ and his that belong to him.
Amen. Amen. What amazing comments. Yeah, I would have to agree with that, Patricia, altogether. And it is a battle. It's the battle. And yet a lot of people view the United States as being the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I think few people would really disagree. When you travel to other places around the world, for the most part, most people, when they come back to the USA, they want to kiss the ground and say, thank God I'm home. Whether it's Europe or other places, I mean, there are great places all over the planet. But as far as the way of life, you know, the United States has always been there. Now we're watching this decay. We're watching this corruption take place. And so a lot of people say, well, if these guys are the ones that built the nation and they've been able to keep us, you know, from war all these years since World War II, that they were intrinsic in bringing Israel to become a nation again. And, you know, we've had such prosperity and all these things. How could these be bad guys? I mean, a Christian living in America is a cakewalk compared to a Christian living in Turkey or a Christian living in Iran or a Christian in the underground church of China or in Cambodia or in any other place, a Christian down in Venezuela right now. I mean, being here in the United States to be Christian and have the freedom and the liberty to be a Christian is a magnificent thing. Unfortunately, Christians are kind of looking ahead a little bit and seeing that our nation is turning anti-Christian, if you will, anti-Christ by the promotion of its laws and the transformation of the mindsets. And so we have a real issue right now as to what is good, what is proper, what is right, and how does this all work? And so I believe it is the responsibility of the church to, you know, to be the compass and to be the mind and to be the light and to be the salt of the nation. But when the salt is no longer salty, it's good for nothing but be trampled underfoot of men. And you wonder if we're living at such a time as that. Your thoughts?
That when the Quakers and the Pilgrims first came here, they came for purpose and reason, for freedom. And that freedom was to serve their Lord, their God, with a sincere heart. And this nation was touched by them from the very onslaught. However, in the midst of that, as government was being formed, there were those who were militant, righteous, Christian men that were involved in government. But alongside it, as always, came the other part. And that other part had to do with another concept and idea. And what you were speaking of a religion that has only the power to create, but no power to change lives. And that fight ensued. What was the truth? Well, as it went, the true spirit of Christianity was winning, and it has won in many, many ways. But right now, the ones that came along, the original founders, to begin the laws or to take place in government were not. They were corrupt in the way of Luciferians desiring a different path of control. So they're winning out right now, so it appears. They will not win in the end. And as we rise up, we are being shaken by this so that we understand we had a lot of strange religiosity where Christianity was divided in what is true and what is not. And schools of theology were divided in their thoughts. And you can't stand on that when we had all these different denominations. But God is bringing in one true denomination, and that's Jesus Christ and He alone, and not church organized church groups or anything to that effect, but the true spirit of Christ. He had a win in that we were confused by the various means of the one world order in seeking its way even into churches, in schools of theology, and institutes of learning as easily and as possibly they could. So it's been a warfare, but we were winning, and that's why we became a great nation. Christianity and true Christianity was winning, but as it has been, there has been a plan, and that plan now is ensuing, but we win still at the end.
Well, amen, and to the victory that is afforded to the saints of God, that is complete. We are rooted in that. We are grounded in that reality that we have the eternal victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that victory is through our faith, according to 1 John. You know, somebody once said that the United States of America was a great experiment, that this country was an experiment to see how far a republic would go, to see how far, you know, this nation could be carried along. And now that we're coming to this moment, it's as though, you know, all the decades and the centuries and the millennia of transformations of nations, it really does appear that we are marching. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. It's just, it's how we perceive it, I guess, that we are marching towards the climax of the Tower of Babel, that Nimrod is finally going to have his way in the world, and to have that one world tower, to have that one world reality. And it will not be complete until, and here's the kicker in all of this, this global government. You may look around the world right now and see the, you know, the Eiffel Tower, or the what was once the Twin Towers, or the, you know, the Empire State Building, and you could see towers and phallic symbols in the idea of the, at the National you know, Mall and the Vatican and all these different places. You could see the global connection of cities. You know, it's really important that you build cities, and all those cities represent or kind of like each other. But the plan cannot be complete. This Nimrod plan cannot be completed until Revelation chapter 13 comes, where we are told in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So here you have to understand that while Nimrod is building his tower, that he has to get the mind of the world in a unity. And remember what happened in the days of Nimrod. God came down and destroyed his tower. But we're told in the scriptures in the last days that there will be a completion in this, that there will be all the people in the world whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is, that they will have a unity of mind, a harmony of mind, and in their unity and harmony will actually adore, worship, and extol and exalt the dragon and the beast. Now, will the dragon be wearing a cape and a pitchfork with, you know, a big tail, and will the beast be a raging demoniac? Probably not. It would probably be something where the world to worship it. Would be that finally, remember what the beast does? He rises in Revelation chapter 11 out of the pit, and he kills the two witnesses, and the whole world rejoices over the death of the witnesses of God. And the kings of the earth begin to send gifts one to another because they were no longer tormented by the ministry of the two prophets or the two witnesses in Revelation 11. Well, this is going to be a time, that's in Revelation 11, that's marching towards the Revelation 13 reality, where something is going to happen in the world where the towers are built, the cities are built, there's a harmony, there's a unity in the structure, but now the final touch is to get the whole world's mind in a unity to worship, because this is what the dragon has always desired. The adversary has always wanted it. So if you are a truly born-again, spirit-filled Christian living in the time of the end, or what was known as the Great Tribulation, because the Great Tribulation is not against the world, it's against those that have a different mind to the New World Order. And so if your mind is not tolerant and pliable to what they desire, if you're not part of the world religion, the world government, the world economy, the world military, a world without borders, where everybody celebrates the diversity and uniqueness of everybody else, including the diversity of religions and sexual preferences. In other words, there's nobody is going to say anything against anybody. Everybody's going to live the way that they want to, supposedly. Meanwhile, the devil is sucking their brains out into eternal damnation because they're sinning against God. We know that. But here's the great tribulation. The great tribulation is against the mind or the heart or the emotion of any person that's contrary to the system that has been erected, and the mind that has come under the control of the powers of darkness. Now, I want to know, are we ready for that? Are we ready to be treated by the world as outsiders and enemies to the degree that we will be hated and persecuted to such a degree? Well, that's what the Bible actually says is going to happen. But like Patricia said, it will only happen for a very brief period of time. It will be a momentary eclipse, like we saw in the solar eclipse a year or so ago when the sun was darkened. But the sun was still there. The light was still there. There was just an object that floated in front of it to darken the light. And that is what the 3.5-year Great Tribulation is all about. It is an object of the adversary to block the light, but the light is always going to be there because the darkness never overcomes the light. And we do understand that. However, if we are the generation that's going to live in that momentary eclipse, 3.5 years, particularly in Revelation 13, it tells us the exact time. Well, we need to be ready to handle what it will be like. You won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I mean, you won't be able to go to the grocery store, buy your gas, pay your mortgage. And so how are you going to live in a system within a society that is, I mean, how are you going to be able to tell people that they need Jesus to be saved? Because the world is going to be worshiping. There comes a time where the witness of Jesus Christ is darkened. How are you going to live at that moment if you're here? Now, many people in the church say, well, we're not going to be here. We're out of here in a pre-rapture before that tribulation ever happens. So they're not prepared for being an Egyptian, living in denial or by denial river. And so these are important things. Patricia, do you have a comment to that that you'd like to make? No. Okay. So I will go ahead and keep the lines open. If you are interested in weighing in on the conversation, we'll bring you in. But I believe this is very valid conversation. I think this is very important, as a matter of fact, as to where we're going. Somebody's calling in. So let me see. Is it 605 area code? Are you wanting to make a comment?
Hello.
Yes Kathy. Were you...
Yes. Oh, this is wonderful information, and the dialogue is great because the understanding of what is happening in our nation and throughout the world. Now, I wanted to tell you what I heard this morning on a radio station that come out of Minnesota. Now, there's the police precinct in one of the areas there in Minnesota, Minneapolis. They had a Christmas tree up just to show you now how people are thinking in their minds. Well, they had this Christmas tree up in the police station there, and some people saw some ornaments on it they said were offensive to them, which was about Christ, and they said they were suing now that police force. This has got to go to court and everything. So when I heard that, I thought, oh, my God, this is really the mindset of the people are really becoming to the point where this, Patricia brought out the Antichrist spirit has, they've been sealed with either Jesus Christ, the seal of the Holy Ghost, or the Antichrist. And we're seeing that happening in this falling away, like you people were bringing out, has taken years. But we're coming to the part now where, like, this book of Revelations is going to have to be fulfilled before the second return of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that's the transition we are all trying to perceive, I believe it. The ones that are really, truly God's chosen people.
Well, amen to that. Praise God. What I'd like to do right now, Kathy, is just go a little bit deeper in this part of the conversation. And I just want to ask people out there, this, we're going to do this in 5 minutes. Have you ever stopped to consider the globalist agenda that, you know, everywhere now you hear that word, and how the elite control your mind and your life? And let me ask you a few questions about this, okay? In searching for a new enemy, watch now, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. This is from the First Global Revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome by Alexander King and Bernard Schneider. That was in 1991. And I want to ask you a question, listeners, today. Have you ever thought something is wrong? Have you ever thought you were being lied to by your politicians, your government, your teachers? Have you ever thought you were being manipulated by the television? Have you ever wondered about how the world really works? Have you ever caught the media in a lie? Do you want to know how money really works? Have you ever wondered what the elite of this world believe and where they are taking us? Here is an idea. The globalist agenda represents a plan to bring all of Earth's inhabitants under the control of a single global state. Now, that's not a surprise to us because it's in the Bible. This is Nimrod, who has been laboring for this for millennia, but is going to have some success in the last days. So there is a small but powerful group who are the architects and instigators behind the formation and implementation of this new world order, using their influence through international organizations such as the IMF, the World Bank, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the United Nations, NATO, and hundreds of other non-governmental organizations. The objective of these internationalists is nothing less than the subjugation of everyone on the planet as servants to a one-world government. And here, servants means slaves. A government run by the same small group of elite that have ruled the masses for a very long time under various guises. These elite are the descendants of those that ruled for at least the past two centuries. Kings and queens, bankers, robber barons, priests, and assorted subservient oligarchs and media representatives. Their desire for a return to a one-world feudal state should come as no surprise to anyone who knows a little bit about history, and especially the Word of God. It is their nature, after all. So in the modern manifestation, these people can be seen as kings and queens, international bankers, the military-industrial complex, and their servants, the corporate CEOs, the scientists, professors, lawyers, heads of NGOs, politicians, and media leaders, all of whom the elite control partially or completely. Sad but true. By or brainwashed national bankers, soldiers, bureaucrats, CEOs, scientists, lawyers, NGOs, politicians, and journalists to say what you want them to say. And if you allow their plans to proceed, you will see how under the guise of keeping us all safe with anti-terrorist laws, the globalists will see all citizens gradually and incrementally lose their civil liberties, preventing any dissent against either the government or the ruling elite who give the government their orders. The purpose of this movement, obviously, is, again, originating out of the Nimrodian reality. And so Arthur Schlesinger Jr. said, "We are not going to achieve a new world order without paying for it in blood, as well as in the words and money." Can you believe that? This guy knew it. Arthur Schlesinger Jr. He said it in Foreign Affairs Magazine, July 1995. We are not going to achieve a new world order without paying for it in blood. And man, did we see a lot of blood shed just a few years later, didn't we? Just a few years later. Well, what would you do if you knew all things we know? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then, what if you saw all of the things that wrong? Would you stand tall and strong, or would you turn and walk away? Most people are simply ignoring the fact that there is a squeeze and an acceleration to bring about a globalization. Now, that, while how fascinating it is, you know what makes it more fascinating to you and I as being born again, spirit-filled Christians? What's most fascinating is that we are being warned and we are actually reading the Bible that's telling us all about this global one-world government that I just read a little bit about in Revelation 13. And this global one-world government is under the influence of Satan. Obviously, the Skull and Bones, those Club of Rome, those Illuminati, those Masons, all of that that is promoted to the denial of the Son. This is the parable of Jesus that the scribes and Pharisees, they, you know, God would send a prophet, they'd kill the prophet. God would send a messenger, they'd kill the messenger. Ah, God will send his Son, they'll reverence the Son, but they killed the Son and said, let us seize upon the inheritance. So the globalists today are wanting to seize upon the inheritance because they're not creating a new world order for the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because they want to promote all religions. They're promoting a one world government and preparing for the arrival of Lucifer, and Lucifer's priesthood that is in the earth are under his control and under his mind. And then they influence the nations through all of their different organizations and corporations and governments and politicians. And this is happening before our eyes. It's happening so fast. And Jesus said that many are going to get caught in the trap and they won't be able to escape once the door is shut, right? And so we have to, as Christians, genuinely begin to navigate our experience on earth and realize that God has a plan for you and I. And by the way, according to Revelation 12, this new world order, this one world government that's going to be under the occupation of Lucifer's priesthood, and when Lucifer, the Antichrist, man of sin, comes to power, he's coming with hatred and rage because he knows he has but a short time. So when he makes his arrival, he is going to quickly accelerate things. Then it's too late. I mean, once he makes landfall, Revelation 12, he gets cast onto the earth and begins to operate in his power, then it's too late. And that's why in Revelation 7, the majority of professors of Jesus Christ, both around the world, are going to go into the great tribulation. And that's where they're going to have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb because they're going to suffer cause of Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of people are going to be beheaded. They're going to be persecuted, thrown into the concentration camps. And you and I are saying, well, God revealed these things, so I hope it's not the case. I hope we don't get caught in such a debauchery. Well, a lot of people are terrified of this kind of conversation. Let's admit it. They don't want to hear it. But it has to be said, because it's for a brief moment that we have to walk through this great tribulation. You read about not being able to buy or sell. You read about it. And yet, here it is in Scripture. It's happening before our very eyes. And there are just a few more things they have to do. The question is Trump interfering? All right? And if he is, then they have to do something about that. The globalists. And there are so many thousands of organizations and banking industries and economics and military. I mean, does one man have the ability to fight it off? Well, if God is with him, yeah. You and I have to be super aware of what's going on in our circumstances. Now, what I'm going to do is I have to say goodbye. I'm going to run over to Kerm. I'll be there in an hour. I hope you'll join me on Kerm Radio. That's KURM.net. And you could join us worldwide on the web. We'll be there in about 1 hour. But Omega Radio is broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'm going to say goodbye right now. And let's see who's next on the list for Omega Radio. We'll see you tomorrow and we'll have a better system, I'm sure about it. Here we go.